Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw Matt Chat, where we show fueled by the video questions of our $20 and up patrons. You can join in on the fun at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Have your question be on the show here on Matt Chat. Why are you looking at me funny?
Are you all right?
I am high as can
no,
be right
No, you're
now.
Not. Stop making drug jokes.
Listen.
It's not funny.
I was digging around some old lady's medicine cabinet. They stole me some these things called opioids.
It's not a laughing matter, man.
No, it's not. You're right. It's not. I should not joke about that. Anyways. Hey, weed is legal here, though, now. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can joke about that. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you for letting me know my limits. Anyways, this is Matt Chat. Off to a great start.
Yeah, wonderful start.
Yeah, we got a bunch of great questions today. Valentine's Day is approaching, Larson, and
that's true.
One of our best friendos, the AO Worm, has a question about
couples.
Couples, yeah. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy AO Worm here back with another video question. So, Valentine's Day is coming up, everybody. You know that February 14th, the day of love. So my question is to you, who are your top three favorite couples in WWE? They could be married, engaged, or long-lasting boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. I'm going to email you guys my power rankings for the couples, but let me know what you guys think. All right, guys, take it easy. Peace.
Thank you, AO Worm.
All right, well, true to his word, he did email us.
Yeah.
His top couples.
Yeah, couples.
My number one couple in the WWE is his number two couple in the WWE.
Oh.
Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano.
Fine choice.
Tearing it up in NXT these days. Gargano might be. It's a toss-up between him and AJ Styles in terms of who is my favorite wrestler.
Not just favorite, but best.
Well, best actual wrestler.
Yes.
I mean, personality, you know, take personality out of it. Who excites me most in-ring with their technical wrestling ability and what they can do in the ring? Of course, Johnny Gargano coming off that hot five-star action match with El Idolo, Cien Almas. Yeah, I always get lost on how to start his name. I'm always like, Andrade
Cien
Almas. Yeah, I know. When you think about it, it's fine. But I don't, you know, I just... Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, and then, of course, Candice LeRae, the most exciting new signee to NXT's women division I can think of in a very long time. Very excited to have her around. She's going to bring so much greatness to the NXT women's division. It's going to be very interesting to see her squaring off with Shayna Baszler. Not just... So here's the thing. I like how they've already integrated
yes.
their marriage into the story of Tommaso Ciampa
yeah.
Blasting Johnny Gargano
yeah.
in the back with his crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And then Candice LeRae holds him in dramatic pose.
Yes.
Looked like a friggin' Renaissance
really
era
did.
Painting
it did.
Of some sort.
It Rembrandt. Really
Rembrandt. I don't know if he was right.
I don't think he was. He was after. Idea.
Anyways, so yeah, that's my answer is Gargano and Candice LeRae.
Well, that was one. He said three each.
Oh, three each?
Yes, man.
All right. Well, Rusev and Lana's next, and then Jim Uso and Naomi.
All right.
They seem very cute together.
Number one for me is Miz and Maryse.
Oh, wow. The it couple.
They seem so charming.
Yeah.
Granted, it's total diva, so who knows how much of that is kayfabe.
Yeah.
But they both are very conscientious about like stray animals.
Oh,
like Maryse,
yeah.
One episode at least, she went and adopted a dog.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So kudos to them
that's good.
For being kind to animals.
Yes.
But more than that, they just seem charming. They seem like it might be fun to be around.
Oh, for sure.
Next, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae,
mm-hmm.
all the reasons you said.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of pure wrestling ability, mm-hmm. they are probably top couple.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In all of wrestling that I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gargano, one of, if not the best wrestler in the WWE system.
Yeah.
Candice LeRae, noted for years as one of the best women's wrestlers.
Yeah.
If not best wrestlers, period.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
third for me is AO Worm's number one, mm-hmm. Montez Ford and Bianca Belair.
Oh, they're great.
They're just scratching the surface of what they can do.
Oh, yeah.
And give them a little bit more time in NXT, give them some time to develop on the main roster, and yeah. they're going to be incredible.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm going to add one more. I didn't include them on my proper list because only a half of this couple is in WWE, but Ricochet and mm-hmm. Tessa Blanchard.
Oh, yeah.
Ricochet, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see his debut on an upcoming episode of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Tessa Blanchard, she had a match against Kairi Sane in the Mae Young Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Great match.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping one day she'll come to NXT as well.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And yeah, if and when that happens, they're shooting up this list for me.
You know, I just came up with a new number. I'm going to say a new number one. I'll kick Jim Uso and Naomi off the list. My number one is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. I mean, come on, give me a break. The most powerful couple in the history of
sports entertainment.
America. America.
It's not true.
Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. If it wasn't for Triple H, isn't it, that dude, look, you call it, he has a golden shuffle. He's got the golden touch. Look at it. As soon as Vince McMahon gets off 205 Live, Triple H puts his finger on it. It turns into gold.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He's Mr. NXT. That's his baby.
Yeah.
He pooped it out, and it's amazing.
It's a good show.
Anything he puts his hand on, his finger on, it just gives you nothing but goodness.
Yeah, you think so?
Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
All right.
And then she's pretty swell, too.
That's a fine answer.
Yeah.
Let's run down AO Worm's list, since he did send it to us. One, Montez Ford and Bianca Belair. Great choice.
Great choice.
Two, Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae.
Mm-hmm. Another. Those number ones and two, they're the foundational pieces for the WWE.
Yeah.
10 years from now,
yeah.
We'll be talking about them
yes.
still.
Three, Naomi and Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
Four, he mentions Cody and Brandi Rhodes.
Hot couple.
Not WWE, but still.
Hot, hot couple.
Five, Rusev and Lana.
Yeah.
And then he says, if you got to have all WWE couples, then Miz and Maryse would be his number five.
Oh, okay. All right.
We got to talk to Miz and Maryse, and it was a delight.
They're a very pleasant couple.
Yes.
What about this? They're not in the WWE, but what about Marty Scurll and Deonna Purrazzo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Another good-looking couple,
mm-hmm.
you know. Never seen them together, hanging out or anything like that. Well, I understand they are together, though.
What about Adam Cole and Britt Baker?
There you go. I like all of her Instagram pictures are them on what looks like very pleasant dates.
I know.
He seems like a very pleasant.
He does.
That what was that? That Instagram video he posted
of, oh, yeah,
in
yeah,
front
yeah.
of the pond.
Well, it looks like the courtyard in his apartment complex or something.
Right.
Somewhere in Orlando.
In Orlando, yeah.
And it was a very pleasant promo till the end.
It's such a pleasant promo.
Even he said, Adam Cole, baby.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Adam Cole, baby, on the speed. And he's trying to be like a little on the quiet side because he's probably, he doesn't want to like freak out.
They have
neighbors.
A noise ordinance around there. He didn't want to disturb his neighbors.
What did Chuck Taylor say about Adam Cole? Hey, Excalibur, look at this fat piece of shit trying to hide his gut wearing DDP belly tape. That's the best tweet of the year. Chuck, is Chuck Taylor really going
to yeah, wrestler? If he keeps this pace up with
just,
these.
Just for that
these
tweet
incredible
alone.
Tweets, yeah.
For that tweet alone.
We need to archive that one for easy access for Friend Awards.
All right, moving on.
Oh, my goodness.
Moving on. Oh, I love Thayer Thabata. He's the best. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, guys, I'm back with another question. Now, we both know that there are chosen ones in wrestling, in both New Japan and in WWE. In WWE, it seems the chosen one is Roman Reigns, obviously. And in New Japan, chosen one is Okada. Now, you also know that in both of these companies, that they do have pretty good to decent development programs with the Performance Center in WWE and the Young Lion program in New Japan. My question is if you swap these two chosen ones with how they came up in these development programs, who would fare better in the other's development program and come out a bigger star? Or not just worldwide, because WWE has an obvious advantage in that, but who would come out the better wrestler and also come out just more over? Would it be Okada coming up in WWE's Performance Center system, or Roman Reigns coming up in the Young Lion system? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Thayer Thabata. We got a couple
what
of these questions.
What the hell was that
a couple
question?
Of questions where we swap a WWE star
oh,
with a New Japan
man.
Star.
What a headache.
Fantasy book it. Well, there's a couple questions like this, Steve, so get used to it.
All right.
But we'll kick off with Thayer's. He says, Roman Reigns goes to New Japan. Okada goes to WWE, start from the beginning. Who is better? Who has better career, more impactful?
All right. Well, I want first before you go first.
I'll go first. I mean, you said Okada, so that means I got to pick Roman Reigns. So here's what it is.
That's right. I can argue both ways. I can argue for Roman Reigns.
Well, I can too.
The New Japan Young Lion system is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
They develop quality wrestlers across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't done an extensive amount of research into the graduates of the Young Lion program of the New Japan Dojo. But if I did, I would say, I would think that there wouldn't be a weak link amongst them.
There you go.
I could be completely wrong. Yeah. They could have someone could have graduated from the Young Lion program, been absolute garbage. I don't know. But I will say this: WWE's developmental system, in its history, ups and downs.
Yeah, okay.
They've developed some great wrestlers. You have Bray Wyatt, completely developed in house, as far as I'm aware. Roman Reigns, completely developed in house.
Yeah, true.
Before joining WWE, he was a football player, played college football. I think he tried to make it in the pros, didn't work out for him, started doing the wrestling thing. And, you know, he didn't come up a polished, finished product. What?
Chuck Taylor's tweet. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But he still had some work to do on main what?
Over, you know he can bring over tomorrow for Alabama's birthday party?
What?
It's that's a DVD where they're making fun of Adam Colby.
Okay. I'll bring that.
Bring that over.
I'll bring that. Oh, it's at the office.
Oh, damn it. Sorry, I'll swing by there.
Okay. All right. I can't remember which one. I want to say it's one of the bolos.
I'll look it up.
Okay. Anyways, in terms of his athletic pedigree, it's great for Roman Reigns. But I don't know if when he was called up to Maine, he was quite ready from a storytelling standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in New Japan, they put you through the Young Lion program. You go through the dojo. They teach you how to wrestle, how to tell stories, and then you get sent on excursion for a couple of years. Imagine if Roman Reigns got sent to
TMLL,
Ring of Honor,
yeah.
In 2010.
This is my ring.
So he'd been wrestling the likes potentially of Kevin Steen, El Generico, Adam Cole, Bebe. Imagine what he would have learned wrestling those gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up tons of knowledge about how to tell stories, how to put on quality matches, how to deliver promos. His 2 or 3 years on excursion, he goes to CMLL 2, I don't know, comes back, and he gets an instant push like Jay White is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I kind of feel like the possibility would be there, given New Japan's track record developing talent versus WWE's. He put Roman Reigns in the Young Lions program, he's going to be a massive star, and he's going to be a good to great wrestler.
Yeah.
That's my contention, Steve.
Yeah, you're probably right on that, to be honest with you. However, I think that there's a lot to be said for WWE's current developmental process.
But here's the thing. We're not talking about putting Okada in NXT now. We're talking about him putting in developmental back in 2004 when he started.
Oh, no, then you're right. Yeah, Roman Reigns. 2004?
Yeah, so we're talking OVW.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, look, who came out of OVW just 2 years prior to that? John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, and
Batista.
And Batista. I mean, come on, give me a break. Okada? Pff, yeah, Okada reborn indeed. Yeah, absolutely. We'd have seen a great Okada in OVW running roughshod over everybody, and then he'd have come up in the WWE. He'd been fine. I don't know, probably not. They didn't have a really great track record of treating their international stars the way they really should have been treated.
Yeah.
So, it's probably Roman Reigns. Now, if you were to put Okada through the developmental system currently, like, you know, coming up through Performance Center, stuff like that.
That's a different story, yeah.
It might be a different story, yeah. But, no, I think, actually, Roman Reigns, seeing, I wonder, like, we can talk about this a little bit, because the answer is obviously Roman Reigns. The Young Lion system is amazing out there.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's the kind of guy who ever would have wanted, like, if because it's a long process, the Young Lion system is. Going on excursion for a couple years, you have to, you know, get beat up by Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
You have to eat a lot of crow.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, you have to be humbled.
Yeah.
If you will. And I'm not sure Roman Reigns ever really got the humbling treatment.
I don't know.
Or if he's the kind of personality who would have been like, yeah, no, I'll pay my dues for 6 years.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think he paid a whole lot of, like, compared to the Young Lion system anyways.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure how many dues he really paid. You know, he came in from football, made a couple, you know, made $1 million there or whatever, and then hopped on over to
WWE. I don't
know
if he ever played on the pro team.
Oh, I don't know.
Preseason. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, a couple hundred thousand then, if you're even in the preseason, I'd assume. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, if he had the disposition for it and the desire to do that, then, yeah, he would have been great. I just wonder if he has the personality who he was like, you know, yeah, sure, I'll pay my dues for 6 years and
yeah, no, I don't know.
Be humbled. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he would have.
I have no idea. As a kind of a follow-up to that, the cat, Daryl Takahashi, has a similar question. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
What's good, Stephen Larson, many friendos out there? It's the cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matchup this week is, a lot of people compare Tanahashi when he was at the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling to John Cena when he was at the top of WWE some years ago. So the question, it's simple. We switched the two. John Cena is the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Hiroshi Tanahashi is at the top of WWE. Who do you think would be seen as the better wrestler if the promotions were switched? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the cat.
All right. Wow.
So now we got Tanahashi and John Cena flipping promotions.
Yeah, I'll go first this time. John Cena would have been better because John Cena is a transcendent champion. John Cena's language is hustle, loyalty, respect, which is universal.
Hold on.
People would have loved John Cena.
Hold on.
And he paid his dues. He would have no problems.
Love and energy. That's Tanahashi's.
I'm not huge into love and energy, to be honest with you. And not all Americans are really into love and energy, so I'm not sure he would have fared all that great over here. I think John Cena over there, I think that would have been great. I mean, he would have been like, who's that Jack dude over there right now?
Kitamura.
He'd have been like him, but like 10 times better because John Cena's jacked. Have you ever seen one of those old John Cena promos from OVW where he speaks backwards? And it's like really scary. He's like scary good at speaking backwards.
That's crazy.
It's really funny. So I don't know. I mean, it's John Cena. How great would it be to see John Cena as a Young Lion?
In the little trunks and the boots.
Minoru Suzuki comes up to him and tries to beat him up, and John Cena's like,
exactly. Says, Minoru, I respect you.
I think John Cena, dude, he's, come on, man. John Cena's got like, you know, huge work ethic. He's a transcendent figure. He's an international figure.
So is Tanahashi.
No, he's not. I guarantee you. I will say this right now.
I didn't say to the same degree as John Cena, but he's an international figure too.
I will suggest this. Everybody in Japan at this moment right now knows exactly who John Cena is. Like, same can't be said for Tanahashi over here in the United States.
Oh, no, I just say it to the same degree. But I said it's true. We went to the G1 special in USA. People love Tanahashi.
Yeah. What was it? How many people were in that building?
2,300.
2,300 people.
It's a microcosm of America, though.
No, it is not. No, it is not. I'm saying John Cena is that much of a crossover figure.
But who's to say?
Everybody in Japan knows who he is.
Who's to say Tanahashi couldn't have been if he was over here? He is a crossover figure in Japan. He just shot a movie, cut his hair for it.
I don't know. What does that have to do with anything?
I'm saying that Tanahashi.
Is it a Transformers movie?
No.
No, then your point is completely invalid.
I don't
know
what movie it is, but if Tanahashi had come here to wrestle in the States, he could have been similar in terms of his fame and crossover appeal. Dave Meltzer says that Tanahashi is the greatest big match wrestler today, maybe ever. I don't know what the last part, but he said today for sure.
Yeah, because they appreciate wrestling, like actual wrestling.
Drama,
in
storytelling,
in more than
not just
here.
Spots. Yeah. Storytelling,
they appreciate
drama,
that stuff over there.
And
more than
they Tanahashi
here.
Tells great stories in the ring. He holds a record for most IWGP heavyweight title reigns, 7 of them. He is one of the greatest champions in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling. You can't argue with that.
I can't argue with that.
In terms of in-ring ability, he's better than John Cena.
I'll put it this way.
What?
We had talked about tiers of celebrity before.
Uh-huh.
John Cena is Elvis tier. Tanahashi.
In the wrestling world, maybe, yeah.
Tanahashi's like, I don't know, George Harrison tier.
Okay.
Maybe Paul McCartney tier, but certainly not Elvis tier.
All right.
That's the difference.
All right.
But you go ahead and keep it talking.
No, I mean, that's pretty much my point is Tanahashi was a better wrestler. So you put him in WWE, especially within the last 3 or 4 years, you can have dream matches against Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. I'm sure he wrestled AJ Styles in New Japan.
Yeah, but wasn't the question like at the top of their game, like at the, like swap them at the top of their game?
Oh, then Tanahashi for sure.
Yeah, I know, but
five-star matches.
John Cena. Yeah, but nobody cared about that back then. Okay, let me ask you this.
Years ago, no one cared about five-star matches?
John Cena was not at the top of his game.
No, I'm saying Tanahashi was.
10 years ago.
3 to 5 years ago, Tanahashi at the top of his game.
Okay, well, what was 5 years ago? When did John Cena fight The Rock? Because that was kind of prime
Cena. 29. That was about 5 years ago.
Okay, about 5 years ago. Yeah, he was fighting The Rock. I mean, nothing's bigger than that. I don't know. And I kind of disagree. People haven't really appreciated the five-star match thing until very recently. Till AJ showed up, really. Because it was like, oh my God, this guy can actually put on five-star matches.
You
people
mean in the States?
Caring about that stuff. Yeah.
Well, I think it was kind of...
In the States.
No, well, I don't know if it was AJ per se, but I think people got more aware of the five-star thing.
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
No, I was going to say a lot more people got aware of it more recently than that, and it was Kenny Omega versus Okada when that match broke the rating scale, and everybody's like...
No, I know, but I'm saying here in the States,
yeah,
in terms of like people appreciate... I mean, people like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like lately, probably maybe because of New Japan, they're starting to stack it up against WWE. What are they doing in WWE?
Yeah, but you look at Tanahashi, he has tons of five-star matches. And there's been like two in the last 6 years.
It's really bugging you. You have something right here.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Probably lunch.
Yeah.
I was going after that Del Taco pretty hardcore.
I saw that, man. Oh, man.
Starving.
Digging
famished.
Into that. That was good stuff.
Famished.
Anyways, next.
Famished. We've got a question from Christian.
Christian!
Let's see what Christian has to say.
You are on your own now. At last. You're old.
Hey guys, it is the Hall of Famer Christian here with another Matt Chat question for you guys this week. As I am walking through the rain on my way to school, my question this week is very simple. Zelina Vega, Paul Heyman, two people who are managers for the two top champions, WWE and NXT respectively. My question to you guys, who is the top manager in WWE today? Honestly, in my opinion, I think it's Zelina. She has done so great. She has completely invigorated Andrade. What do you guys think? Too sweet.
Thank you, Christian!
Christian!
I hope you stay dry.
Yeah.
In the rain!
Yeah.
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 Oof, nasty. Anyways, hey, you know what? I agree with Christian. Zelina Vega, my top manager. Number one, Paul Heyman can't do any hootin' kanranas. That's for sure.
That's a good point.
He's not helping anybody out physically. He's kind of a liability physically sometimes. And these days, he gives these promos that are a bit on the long-winded side, and we've heard him before. So give me Zelina Vega. The point that Christian made is absolutely correct. You had El Idolo. What do I do with my shirt?
What are you looking for?
My shirt.
Oh.
Who came into the WWE. We both liked him. We heard about his, you know, illustrious time as La Sombra.
La Sombra.
But, you know, he seemed to be wallowing a bit. I'll never forget when they first started going down the path of him being a bit too tranquilo and partying up. Who would have thought? Because at the time I was like, hey, I'm into this. I think it's cool. I kind of like it. And you were like, I'm waiting because they can't just do this whole time. Turns out our faith was, you know,
rewarded.
And they brought in Zelina Vega, his business associate, and they have booked him to perfection. He's currently NXT champion. It's probably going to come to an end, I would think, in the next takeover. Maybe not. They might extend it out a bit more. I don't know. But she has absolutely done wonders for him. That storyline has really turned his fortunes in the WWE around. I'm very happy about that. I really would have hated to see him just stick around NXT for 3 useless years and then just go back to, you know, doing great things as La Sombra.
Yeah.
However, we have him as NXT champion. He got a great reaction at the Royal Rumble coming out there and had a really good showing there. I do think that a lot of that has to do with Zelina Vega. And so, yes, I absolutely agree. I think Zelina Vega is best manager right now. There aren't a lot of managers out there.
That's true.
So what do you have to say?
If we're looking at managers who are on the roster today in a historical context, then Paul Heyman wins this argument easily just because Zelina Vega hasn't been doing it as long.
Of course.
Paul Heyman is in contention to be the greatest manager ever.
Absolutely.
These days, it kind of feels like he's coasting a little bit.
A little bit.
Nonetheless, he's still delivering great promos mm-hmm. on occasion.
We take him for granted.
We really do because the bar is set so high with Paul Heyman.
He is the bar.
But if we're talking just right now, work that they've done lately, I have another Paul in mind. Paul Ellering. Again, another legendary manager, if you look at it, his work in the historical context. But just recently, the last couple of years, his work with Authors of Pain has been great. Mm-hmm. Subtle.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do too much.
Yeah.
In fact, when he does a little bit, it goes a long way. Just when he gives them directions, it's great. We heard back when he was managing the Road Warriors, he was actually managing them.
Yeah, that's the best thing about that.
That he was actually booking their hotels, managing their money. I don't know if he's doing that with Authors of Pain. I would suspect not. But the fact that he did do that at one point is pretty damn insane.
Yeah. I like the idea that these days with the Authors of Pain, if he's their actual manager, hold on, let me give Southwest Airlines a phone call and book a ticket. Paul, we can do that on our phones right now. I don't do those phones.
I only use rotary phones. anyways, he's still a great promo guy. His voice, it's got such gravitas to it.
It's amazing.
And again, NXT employs him in small doses
mm-hmm.
to maximum effect, and it's fantastic.
Yep.
I doubt he will join Authors of Pain on the main roster.
I know, that
given his
me
advanced
out.
Years. That, I don't know how well he travels these days. And as we've seen on NXT TV of late, they've been giving the Authors of Pain more mic time. I'm assuming to get him more comfortable in that role since Ellering won't be joining him. But if he did, even just for TVs, I think that would be fantastic.
Oh, I would love it.
Paul Ellering, my choice for right now, the current best manager in WWE.
He adds so much to Authors of Pain, and I agree with you. It doesn't feel like he's going to be sticking around because they've been taking the mic a lot more
yep.
than they had before. But man, he is absolutely fantastic, and I would love to see him on TV with the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
It would be great.
I mean, the fact that he was traveling along with them on the road.
He was the first time we went to a house show.
Right.
Second time, I don't think he was.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So, I think those are all great answers. Next up, we've got a question from Bobby Mincy, who's wearing a turtleneck that
looks very warm.
Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. Bobby Mincy here with another Matt Chat question. Steven Larson, this time I actually want you guys to envision something real quick. The WWE logo, but in Wonder Woman colors. I think that WWE should actually go ahead and pull the trigger and make a all-woman WWE Network TV show. So, Wonder Women, who knows what. Irregardless, though, that way, all the women are finally together. They can actually have concrete stories, WWE concrete stories, and they could do the same thing they're doing with 205 Live and adding a little excerpts to make you go and watch it. You guys tell me what you guys think, the yeses, the noes, fill in the details, yada, yada. So, too sweet, guys. Firm handshake, Larson. Have a good one.
Thank you, Bobby Mincy.
And Bobby gets this. A little warm in here. A little warm in here for Bobby Mincy.
It's warm out here in California.
Warm out here.
It's a beautiful spring day. Warm in my hoodie. Yeah, it's a beautiful spring day in the middle of winter.
Yeah, man. Anyways, a WWE women's show. I say yes. What do you say?
No.
Who goes first? You go first.
I'll go first. All right. I know they just signed a plethora of talents from the Mae Young Classic.
Well.
And, we ask ourselves on a fairly regular basis, how are they going to utilize all this talent
they
just signed?
Their own show, yeah.
However, I think there's other more productive ways to highlight this talent than to maybe do a women's exclusive show on the network. My worry is we've seen what happened with 205 Live. And granted, it seems to be picking up steam now that Triple H is in charge, but for the vast majority of his time on air, it has been obviously not a priority for Vince McMahon. I know he was hands-on for a while. He really didn't seem to care about it, or at least he didn't care about how to implement the show in a way that would attract fans. And that would be my worry with any women's show. If Triple H wasn't in charge, my concern would be they wouldn't be given the spotlight it deserves. Also, at this point, the women's divisions are such a massive part of Raw, SmackDown, NXT that to bring star power to this women's show, you'd have to take talent from those respective brands and put them on that show. And I don't want to see that happen. I really enjoy seeing Sasha and Bayley and Asuka and Raw, or Charlotte and Becky Lynch on SmackDown, and Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair on NXT. I don't want to see them depart those brands. I want to see them grow as competitors on those brands and help build those brands.
Well, there is always there is always the concern that the show would end up not getting the attention it deserves. You are correct. We've seen this in 205 Live. We've mentioned some changes that we'd love to see happen with that product. However, as you also stated, the 205 Live is picking up steam right now because it seems like they are focusing more on the wrestling. I think that here's the thing. We've talked about this a little bit. I think it'd be a fantastic idea to take the UK division, to take the Mae Young Classic signees, to take and 205 Live, to use those as essentially their own territories. I'm not going to say that it's sort of developmental, but also its own thing. And I think here's the problem is this. They've signed so many people from the Mae Young Classic that there is just to, and I mean, the same thing could be said about the men's division. They just seem to be snapping up so much talent. What do you do with all this? I mean, yeah, would I love to see Mustache Mountain in the tag division on SmackDown or Raw? Of course. However, they did sign a bunch of other UK talents that now we're seeing maybe like Mark Andrews show up on 205 Live. Tyler Bate already has, but that seemed to be a one-off. They need places and shows with their own look and feel, which we've said about with 205 Live,
yeah,
to be featured on the network. I don't believe, my only point of contention with what you said is I don't think they'd have to pull any talent from Raw or SmackDown, simply because if you look at the Mae Young Classic, they were able to create instant buzz with some of these names they brought in. Look at Jazzy Gabert. They brought her in and immediately, without many people knowing who she was an instant standout. They did this with a couple different different couple personalities that came into the Mae Young Classic. And so it would actually, in my opinion, kind of make it stick out if like Bayley came over to the women's division show or whatever they're going to call it. Because like, well, you're already on main roster. You use these as vehicles to get the most overstars up to the main roster and you know, foster new talent, foster their brands until they make their way up, if that's a proper landing spot. You know, some of these need to be considered. The one thing about the UK division right now, if you can even call it a division, I do appreciate that. Okay, Pete Dunne, when we need you, you need to be here on Raw. But otherwise, you can go out and have matches against Austin Aries, against he's got one with Session Moth Martina, this crazy party girl out there in I think ICW, a couple other places. And so he's out there having matches. Tyler Bate apparently got some heat because they said, hey, we need you for this thing. And he was like,
already booked.
Already booked. I'm sorry, I can't do it. You guys are wasting us, basically. So I like the idea that if they don't show that the WWE, like Triple H and Vince, that, hey, I've got, you know, what you guys are looking for main roster, they can still have a thriving indie career and be featured on whatever this WWE Network show would be. I think we've seen with Stardom, we've seen with Shine, I think, and there's been like Women of Honor. I think they have their own thing in Ring of Honor. We've seen how all women shows can definitely work, and there's definitely an audience out there for them. I don't think that I mean, Bobby's question here has to do also with, you know, bringing all the women to their own show. And I completely disagree with that. I think that would be foolhardy. But I do think that a woman specific show could absolutely work if you treated it in the same manner as like 205 Live and like a UK show, perhaps, in terms of there being their own territories and having their own look and feel. And then you move these stars up and see what they look like on main roster.
As far as using a woman's show for kind of a developmental thing, that kind of is more or less what NXT is there for as well. And granted, you'll get give more women opportunity to have a spotlight if given their own show. But just worry there'd be too much crossover there. That's what Triple H had to say. This is from an interview with Muscle and Fitness about doing a woman's show. said, quote, in some ways, I think the Cruiserweights is a different platform, that, you know, in comparison to 205 Live. It's a different platform that can have its own distinct individual show. I don't know if the women need that right now. The Cruiserweights have a match here and there on Raw, and they have their own division, their own show on 205. With women, you have opportunities on Raw, on SmackDown, you have opportunities in NXT. Hopefully, over time, you'll have opportunities in the United Kingdom. You'll have opportunities in different localized markets. Those are the things for me that it begins to spread around.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity, yeah. Chances to wrestle, yeah. Spotlight. For me, like the major thing right now, as far as not doing that, the women's show, is just seeing what has been done with 205 Live. And if, I'm guessing if they do say, okay, now's the time to get started on the women's show, that I just worry that Vince would be like, all right, I want a piece of that. I want a piece of that show. I want to be involved in it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right in terms of like, are they
scares the heck out of me.
Are they going to, would they execute it right? You're probably absolutely right. It'd be terrifying. However, you know, it's for me, if the question is, should they get their own show? If we can assume that they execute it properly. They don't even execute SmackDown properly right now. So, I mean, you know, they're firing pretty decently on Raw, on NXT. They're maybe riding the ship on 205 Live. The jury's still kind of out on that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, does half the stuff WWE do, I mean, do they? But the bottom line is, you've got how many people have been, you know, signed? Like, where's Abby Lath? We haven't seen her. There's, like, people on the NXT house show, sorry, that I haven't even heard about yet. And so... Yeah, do they have all these opportunities? And on top of that, it's Triple H, same guy who said the Intergender Wrestling is never going to come back. And they kind of are flirting with it a little bit. I don't think we're going to see it. You're right. I know they're not going to have a Candice LeRae versus Johnny Gargano
match.
One or two,
a couple spots, a couple house show matches is not a sea change.
I'm not saying it's a sea change. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the fact that NXT, their social media team, used the word intergender in a Instagram post is kind of counter to what he's saying. But, I mean, the bottom line is you need a place for these people if you're going to be signing them.
No, I agree.
And they have not stopped signing them.
I know.
And so what are they going to do with all these people? They're just not going to be doing
another
anything.
Another worry is like the United Kingdom division, they have this tournament, the current champion. At least word spreads out that they're going to start doing a UK-based show. Never happens.
Yeah.
You know, and if they were going to approach a women's show the same way, but literally take the same approach, yeah, we'll never see it.
It would never happen, exactly.
So give them opportunities where available in NXT, on Raw, SmackDown. And then if they start doing localized shows like the United Kingdom show, bring in some wrestlers from the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Women wrestlers from there, give them opportunity on that show.
And then you start watching ICW. I keep on watching clips from it. It looks great.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Anyways, moving on.
I mean, I think both of us just want women wrestlers to maximize their opportunities regardless of the platform.
Yeah.
So, and right now this seems like the safest bet is NXT, Raw, or SmackDown.
I mean, the funny thing is, I really like the idea of divisions as territories. I'm a big fan of that. Like, the more we talk about it, you're absolutely right that the execution has to be right. But, I mean, that's for anything. I mean, you have to think, well, if they do it right, obviously I'm not thinking, well, I don't want them to do it because I know they'll do it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit on the cynical side. I'd rather them get some exposure regardless of how they execute it. But, I mean, it's WWE, you know. It's like you can't – I'm never going to say don't do it because you're going to do it wrong. I'd rather them do it and fail.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. I do like the idea, though. I like the idea that show can be its own thing. And mm-hmm. We've said this endlessly about 205 Live. It wouldn't have the knock that it does if it was produced in a way that's exciting. I mean, we're at the point now where people are talking about NXT where it's like, I'm not sure I want to see Aleister Black go up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to see
Sanity
go up.
I think Triple H would probably agree with you if he could build NXT the way, this is conjecture.
As a third brand, as an actual
third brand. If he could
build
NXT, and I think it would him having the leverage or having someone establish, say, this is where I want to be. I don't want to go anywhere else.
Could you imagine if 205 Live was shot the way that you and I would both love to see it shot?
Oh, really dramatic lighting.
It would be to the point where it'd be like, man, I'm not sure I'd want to see
Cedric Alexander move up
to contend for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah,
good.
I know.
That's what you want from it.
Yeah.
You know? And then even if he does move up, it's okay for the people who don't because it's a good place to be.
It's still a quality show with quality opportunity.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they've got this whole network and they've got, I mean, wrestling is their thing. They're trying to be the end-all, be-all to wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, why not? Next up, we've got a question from Xander McIntosh. Let's see what Xander McIntosh has to say.
So, We are on the road to WrestleMania, and the further we get, it looks like Daniel Bryan will not be on the card, which means he probably won't re-sign in September. So SmackDown Live is going to need a new general manager. And so I have decided to give you guys who you're going to be arguing for. Steve, you get Corey Graves. Larson, you get CM Punk.
Thank you, Xander.
So, yeah, Daniel Bryan, September, it's probably going to be gone.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they let him wrestle. I mean,
they brought it up on SmackDown.
They brought it up on SmackDown. I don't know. Maybe it's a fluid situation. Maybe
who knows?
He might
who knows?
Be cleared by Mania.
Maybe he's going through his all his doctors.
Maybe.
And if they clear him on to the next one, on the next one, last one, like a level boss.
Dr. Yeah.
Joseph Maroon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yes, this is a fair question. Are we looking for on the lookout for the next general manager of SmackDown?
I'm going to...
Should Shane start interviewing candidates now in preparation for Daniel Bryan's departure in September?
He should. I'm going to say this. I'm going to skirt Corey Graves. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to go for Corey Graves. I like Corey Graves. He's great at commentary. I do actually think he'd make a great general manager, but then you're sort of stretching him thin. You might get into a situation where they want to go with the evil heel, guy. I don't want that for him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to say somebody who is currently under contract and probably for a little bit while longer. Maybe she's 2019. I think Paige is 2019. I'm going to go with Paige. I'm going to say Paige. I think it's a real bummer that that she basically, according to rumor, according to reports, and evidently, like, she has not wrestled since the house show injury she sustained, accidentally from Sasha Banks. She evidently has to retire.
Mm-hmm.
We've also heard rumors that she has had a hard time coming to grips with this fact, and she's giving it more time. And I hope she takes whatever time and that she needs, and
yes.
she seeks whatever help, because that's got to be mentally, that's got to be emotionally a horrible thing.
Oh yeah,
say, hey, you have to retire now. You're 25. That being said, I think she would be an amazing general manager for SmackDown. She's really good on the mic. She's very comfortable in, situations where she has to be more character than wrestler. We've mm-hmm, seen that before. Mm-hmm. She's already kind of got her bona fides right now. She's general managing a faction called Absolution.
True.
I mean, and now it's kind of a duo. But, and I think on top of that, more than anything, I think she'd pop ratings. People love Paige. People want to see Paige. They want to be around her. So I think she'd make a great general manager for SmackDown, and maybe keeping her in the company, and not all emotionally distraught over this stuff. I mean, you don't want her out there on the independent circuit saying, oh, no, I'm fine. Because here's the thing. There is probably, unfortunately, independent promotions out there who'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll book you regardless of how messed up your neck might be.
Yeah.
We'll risk you being paralyzed on our show.
Yeah.
Because you never know how somebody's going to react to that. They might do something that's not in their own best interest. Mm-hmm. And so keeping her in the company, saying you're going to be general manager and you can take your time and come to this conclusion on your own.
Yeah.
About that, the fact that you can't wrestle probably anymore. And so I say make her the next general manager of SmackDown.
Okay.
Paige. That's my answer.
Xander suggested CM Punk for me, which CM Punk would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if, and it's a huge if he ever comes back to WWE, I don't think it's just to talk on the mic.
Oh, no.
He'd want to compete because he wants that main event still. So assuming he's out of contention, I just thought of this while you're talking about Paige.
Ooh, okay.
Given wrestlers who are dealing with injury now,
mm-hmm.
I know Sheamus is dealing with...
Oh, I'd like that.
With neck issues.
Yeah.
I know he's one of the reasons they put him in a tag team with Cesaro mm-hmm. was to hopefully lengthen his career.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's been trying to do rehab for, I think, spinal stenosis, same reason Edge and Stone Cold had to retire.
Right.
So, assuming that Sheamus either has to or feels like it's time to hang him up,
mm-hmm.
maybe give him an opportunity to be general manager of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Historically speaking, we've been down on him somewhat based on his character.
Mm-hmm.
But especially now with his run with Cesaro.
Oh, man.
I think we completely turned around on him.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Him going out there and managing a show, he would do a perfectly fine job of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think he would be really good and give an opportunity to prolong his career in the business.
Yeah.
I'd say Sheamus.
I like that. That's a really good answer. Well done, Steven Larson. Anyways. That's it for Matt Chat. Thank you so much to everybody for sending your questions. You too can be on Matt Chat. $20 on the Patreon per month gets you access to putting your video question up here on Matt Chat.
Yes.
So until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.